Das sechs. Oh, beloved congregation and friends, one of the most memorable days in the Old Testament, children, was the Day of Atonement, once a year. And this day today in the New Testament time is the fulfillment of that. As the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, disappeared behind the curtain. So on this day we remember Jesus Christ as the heavenly high priest disappearing behind the clouds to do the most glorious work on behalf of his church as he rules this world. Now therefore, as we begin our worship, I'd like to read Psalm 47, the first two verses, as the call to worship. It says, "Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible." That means awesome. He is a king, a great king over all the earth. So let us with these words now lift up our hearts in prayer to God and receive his blessing. Our help is in thy name, O Lord, in thee who has made the heavens and the earth, in thee who keepeth truth forever, never forsaking the works of thy own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us sing together now with Psalter 302, verses 1, 2, and 3. The Lord unto his Christ has said, "In glory I enthrone thee. To all thy foes in triumph led, their sovereign king shall own thee." So Psalter 302, verses 1, 2, and 3. There are two scriptures we will read together. First, Psalm 24, and then let's turn to Luke 24. So first, Psalm 24, and then we'll read also the last verses of Luke 24. After that, I also like to read with you the Confession, Article 26 in the Psalter on page 17. So first then, Psalm of David, number 24. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. And then the last verses of Luke 24, verses 50 to 53. Luke 24. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass that while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Let's also now read the Article 26 of the Confession of Faith, dealing with Christ's intercession. We believe that we have no access unto God, but alone through the only mediator and advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous, who therefore became man, having united in one person the divine and the human natures, that we men might have access to the divine majesty, which access would otherwise be barred against us. But this mediator whom the Father has appointed between him and us ought in no wise affright us by his majesty or cause us to seek another to our fancy, according to our fancy. For there is no creature, either in heaven or on earth, who loveth us more than Jesus Christ, who though he was in the form of God, yet made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a man and of a servant for us, and who was made like unto his brethren in all things. If then we should seek for another mediator, who would be well affected towards us? Whom could we find who loved us more than he, who laid down his life for us even when we were his enemies? And if we seek for one who has power and majesty, who is there that has so much of both as he who sits at the right hand of his Father and who has all power in heaven and on earth? and who will soon be heard than the own well-beloved Son of God. Therefore, it was only through distrust that this practice of dishonoring instead of honoring the saints was introduced, doing that which they have never done nor required, but have on the contrary steadfastly rejected according to their bounden duty as appears by their writings. Neither must we plead here our unworthiness. For the meaning is not that we should offer our prayers to God on account of our own worthiness, but only on account of the excellency and worthiness of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose righteousness is become ours by faith. Therefore, the apostle, to remove this foolish fear, or rather distrust from us, justly saith that Jesus Christ was made like unto his brethren in all things, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Furthermore, and further to encourage us, he adds, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The same apostle saith, having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. And likewise, Christ has an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. What more can be required? Since Christ himself saith, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. To what purpose should we then seek another advocate, since it has pleased God to give us his own Son as our advocate? Let us not forsake him to take another, or rather to seek after another, without ever being able to find him. For God well knew, when he gave him to us, that we were sinners. And therefore, according to the command of Christ, we call upon the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, our only mediator, as we're taught in the Lord's Prayer, being assured that whatever we ask of the Father in his name will be granted unto us. Shall we together seek the Lord in this evening hour? O God, thou art the greatest King of all kings, the Lord of heaven and of earth, worthy to receive all honor and all our praise and everything of our devotion. For we read it here several times, Lord, in this confessional echo of thy scripture. While thy people were still sinners, enemies, full of hatred and disdain for thee, thou gave and sent thy only begotten Son, Though he was God, he did not, Lord, refrain from humbling himself to take upon him the form of a servant and the lowest of all servants. And gracious God, fill our hearts tonight as we gather here to recall the ascension of Jesus into glory. O Prince Emmanuel, draw thou our hearts, our eyes upwards, as thou did with the disciples as they stood there on Mount Bethany, seeing thee depart. And Lord, though not witnessed by any mortal eye on earth, thou hast left us not without a record in Scripture. What happened and what is happening beyond the clouds in the glory of the heavenly tabernacle? And Lord, we pray this evening that as we consider this from the Scripture's page, thou wilt indeed open our eyes for what evidently filled Guido de Bray with joy and comfort as he penned the words of this article in our confession tonight. And Lord, what a beautiful, biblical, joyful confession thou art reminding also thy church of this evening. Thy people here on earth, though they may face all kinds of trials and opposition, have one in heaven who loveth them more than anyone has ever loved. And that, Lord, may that truth this evening be a sweet comfort for each one who has learned to take their refuge to thee, O precious Redeemer. We bow before thy throne tonight, and we plead with thee to bless us this evening with thy gracious presence, with thy teaching ministry, with thy conquering power. It's always an extra challenge, Lord, as we've been busy the whole day with our daily work, with school, with our families, then indeed to let go of all of that and this evening have our thoughts for a moment fixed on this glorious truth. And therefore we pray, Lord Jesus, that thou wilt, by thy Spirit, take our minds and wilt thou fix them on thyself. Some of us, thou knows, are still imprisoned behind the gates of hell in unbelief, in a totally deprived condition, completely unable and unwilling, as a fruit of our horrible revolt in paradise of old. And O Savior King, we plead with thee to reach forth thy hand as the greater Samson, and to carry away those gates of hell that trap sinners in unbelief. Show thy power, Lord, to call to life those that are dead, among the young, among the old. Show thy power, Lord Jesus, to call sinners out of this world into thy kingdom of light and love. We plead with thee, Lord, that some of us indeed may have no desire to even seek thee, have no burden why they need to seek thee, have no sense that we need to seek thee. And we pray therefore, Almighty Lord, lay thy hand tonight as the heavenly physician upon such souls in our midst or listening at home. We beg thee, Lord, as the poet of old confessed, that all our springs are in thee. There is nothing in us that will enable us, that will conquer us, that will change us. And therefore we beg thee, Almighty Lord Jesus, command thou deliverance through thy word, through thy spirit. And though we're all unworthy, look upon us in thy sovereign grace. Visit us, Lord, for thy name's sake. And teach thou us to kiss the Son, to serve thee with trembling, to rejoice in thee. And so make this evening not just an Ascension Day commemoration, but a salvation commencement evening. And Lord, even though this world has rejected thee, and even though we have ruined thy handiwork, and even though we have shifted the blame to thee or others, and even though we have despised the riches of thy goodness and long-suffering, and even though we take thy truth in Christ Jesus and will love darkness more than light, yet thou hast not left us without thy witness, in thy care, in thy message of love, in thy calling us to return, in thy revelation of thy readiness to pardon us. O gracious God, that encourages us this evening to plead before thee that thou wilt shine upon us with thy saving power and thy sovereign grace. And Lord, thou knowest exactly where we are this evening. Also where thy children are. And what struggles perhaps they may be. Or what backsliding they are in. Or with what burdens they are distracted. Feed thy children, Lord. Lead thou us in the green pastures of thy word. And refresh us again with this commemoration about the truth that thou art, as the heavenly high priest, laboring day and night at the right hand of thy Father. And, O gracious Lord, will thou drop these handfuls of truth in the hearts of those seeking and gathering Ruth. And bless thy church with the faith strengthened, love revived, and souls restored. So, blessed God, have mercy upon us. And hear us and answer us. Also be with all that could not be here tonight, those that are listening in their homes, Lord, perhaps still under the limits and restraints of this lockdown in some of the areas of this nation. Continue to protect us. and continue to bless us with the health Thou hast given us, Lord, but also continue to keep us watchful, that we live in a time where there are indeed sicknesses that touch lives, also of those we know. And please spare our lives, especially, Lord, if we are not yet prepared to meet Thee in righteousness and peace. So hear us now, we pray, in Jesus' name alone. Amen. Let us take up in the Psalter number 418. Again, a psalm that in the Old Testament clearly celebrates the Ascension Day of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Psalm 418, again, the collections will be delayed to the exit of our church service, so that is not taking place at this moment. So that's 418, all 3 verses. tonight. If you ever ask yourself, how could I have done this? Why didn't I think of this? If I only have thought this better through, I could have avoided all the pain and the cost. I'm sure our older ones, you recall those moments you thought those things. Well, undoubtedly David did. On the day that he recorded, or that is recorded in 2 Samuel 6, children. David was just a king. He just was settled in his kingdom, and first thing, after he had the first opportunity, he said, we are going to bring the ark from the house of Abinadab to Jerusalem. He gathered 30,000 guests to come and join him. From all over Israel, he gathered them. He ordered a brand new cart made out of wood with oxen in front of it. Because that was beautiful. That was fitting for the ark. And it even says that David himself took a musical instrument and he joined the great symphony that accompanied this procession from the house of Abinadab unto Jerusalem. And all of a sudden, all the music died down and all the singing stopped. And all the people stood stunned still. What happened? Uzzah, one of the men who grew up with the ark in his house, saw that the ark almost toppled off the cart and quickly reached out his hand to stop it from falling. And God killed him. David was very angry first. At who? At Uzzah? No, at God. He was very angry with God for doing this. It says it in the Bible. He went home. Everybody went home. They hadn't gone very far. The ark went into a different house of Obed-Edom. And everybody went home. But later, David himself was again displeased, but not with God. He was displeased with himself. He'd gone back to the book, this one, the Bible. He'd asked the priests and the Levites, what went wrong? What did we do wrong? And then they learned a few things. They learned indeed that God said that ark will always be transported by the priest carrying it, never on a cart. It will always be transported covered, not uncovered. Though it doesn't say it in the Bible was uncovered, most likely it was. And thirdly, he says, the ark is not to be touched by anyone except once a year by the high priest. You see, David had done it all wrong and the people of Israel had done it all wrong. He had to learn that God is holy. He had to learn that God is exalted. He had to learn that you don't approach God on your ideas and your terms, but on God's demands and on God's terms. You see, that's the background of Psalm 24. Let's take Psalm 24 out again. And children, just read along for a moment in Psalm 24. And you'll see something in this psalm. I try to perhaps bring it in my reading already. But this psalm was, it's like a choir instruction written for this occasion. When on the second time, David and all his invited guests took the ark of the house of Obed-Edom into Jerusalem. And maybe Mom and Dad can read with you tomorrow or so that chapter out of the Bible itself. I will not do. It is in 2 Samuel 6, verse 13 and 15. And for this occasion, David composed Psalm 24. As well as Psalm 47. We sang that from the Psalter. But let's look at Psalm 24 again. First thing he does, in verse 1 and 2, he calls everyone to praise God for being the king. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell in therein, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. And everyone out there had to sing this, or perhaps all the choir had to sing these two verses as they began the journey with the ark. So in your thoughts, you see them going. Verse 3 is a question. Probably the chief singer, as a soloist, would say that, or perhaps he had some support, but they would sing this question, some of them: who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? And after that question was sung, the entire choir would answer. They would sing the next verse. What was that verse? Well, the answer is, he that has clean hands, and he that has a pure heart, and who has not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Selah. What does Selah mean? Repeat. So they sang it again. Because it's quite a journey all the way from the house of Obed-Edom all the way to Jerusalem. So maybe they sang it again. And maybe they sang another psalm like 47. We don't know all the exact details. But slowly on, they have come closer to the gates of Jerusalem. You see the gate there in front of them, it's closed. And so the choir sings another song. Together they lift up their voice in verse 7, and they sing, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates of Jerusalem, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Now they had prepared it well, because on the walls of the city gate, and on the walls around it, there were again singers standing there. And as they heard the choir sing before the gate, they answered from the gate. And what they answer? A question. What is the question? Who is this King of glory, for which we have to open the gates? And the whole choir outside sang again, "The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle." And once again they summon, "Lift up, you gates, you everlasting doors. Lift up, and the King of glory shall come in." And once more they sing on these gates, "Who is this King of glory?" And the answer is again, "The Lord of hosts. The Lord of armies, he is the King of glory, Selah." Perhaps they re-sang it again and again as they were working to open up the gates, and so the ark entered into the city. Now we have reason to sing even louder tonight. than those people in the city of Jerusalem did. We have reason to be even more stirred this evening, children, congregation. Why? Because all what we just heard in the Psalm 24 is just a little picture and preview of what happened on this day from that hill of Bethany, where Jesus stood with his 11 disciples and perhaps others that were with him. And then the King of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, entered into the gates of an heavenly Jerusalem. And at this time, it wasn't people that asked, "Lift up your gates, ye everlasting doors." It weren't angels. It was Jesus who would have asked, or rather demanded, "Open up these gates, ye everlasting doors, lift up." What a moment this would have been, congregation. If heaven is said to rejoice over one sinner that repents, how much more would heaven rejoice over the sons and the Savior's returning into heaven? And undoubtedly, therefore, when the poet of Psalm 47 exhorts the congregation, "Oh, clap your hands, you people! Shout unto God with the voice of triumph, for the Lord is awesome! He is the great King over the earth." And we have reasons tonight, too, to exhort you and myself to rejoice about the Ascension Day of the Lord Jesus Christ. May I share with you three reasons why this is an evening for rejoicing together? Three reasons about the joy of Christ's ascension. The first is because Jesus is the ultimate and the omnipotent owner and ruler of heaven and earth. That's a cause for joy. Verse 1 and 2 reminds us of that in this psalm, doesn't it? The earth is the Lord's, Jehovah's, and the fullness thereof, and the world and all that dwell therein are the Lord's. He's founded it upon the seas. He's established it upon the floods. The poet is here saying something about the immovableness, about the control that this Lord has over heaven and earth. Beloved, if you go to the book of Psalms, you'll find so many passages which exhort us to rejoice and to shout for joy about the fact that Jesus Christ, Jehovah God, is the ruler of the world. I'm going to just take a few out of the book of Psalms. Psalm 2, verse 11 and 12 says, "Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling, and kiss the Son." Psalm 47, again, but then later in the psalm, in verse 6 and 7, sing praises to God. Sing praises to God, he repeats. Sing praises unto our King, he repeats again. Sing praises. Fourth time. Why? For God is our King. For God is the King of all the earth. In case you didn't hear it yet, sing ye praises with understanding. Grasp it. In all the uncertainty and all the confusion and all the fears and all the unsettledness of this day and age we live in, we have reason to sing. And is the world hearing that, children of God? Is God's church singing in this time of trial, time of fear, time of death? Yeah, but Pastor, no, not Pastor. God says, sing ye praises with understanding. Why? Because God is King. He rules. Psalm 68. Seems like the poets don't get enough to remind us to speak on God's behalf. Verse 3 and 4, but let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Now if you read the rest of the psalm, it's a time of trial. Their enemies are out, there's assaults on the kingdom, the church is in oppression. And look what the poet says. This is a time for rejoicing. Why? Sing unto God, sing praises to His name, extol Him that rideth upon the heavens by His name, Jah, and rejoice before Him. Our friends, I won't quote more psalms, but there's plenty more that is telling us tonight is a reason for joyful celebration. Because this world is not ruled by fate, it's not ruled by devil and demons, it's not ruled by evil man, it is not ruled by people with all kinds of ideas how to take your life and your liberty and your goods. It's not at all ruled by any of those. And if you allow them to rule over you, you won't be rejoicing. But if tonight you by faith may behold this ascended Savior who left with His arms outstretched over His church saying, to Me is given all power in heaven and on earth, then we can rejoice. There's nothing outside of His control, from the smallest sparrow on the housetop to the distant sun in the galaxy. He has but to say, stop, and it stops. On Ascension Day, Jesus Christ has been enthroned as the Lord of heaven and earth. I think Peter's face must have been glowing. And on the day of Pentecost, He's preaching to all these people, and He says this to them. For David is not ascended into heaven, but Jesus is. And therefore, let all the house know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom ye crucified both Lord and Christ. Children of God, the Father has exalted your Master. He's given Him all the powers in heaven and earth. Your Redeemer, children of God, is the Lord of glory and is holding heaven and earth under His control. If there's one fact that is the cornerstone of Lord's Day number one, question one, what is your only comfort in life and death? It's this fact that Jesus is King. That I don't belong any to myself, I belong to my faithful Savior, who after He laid down His life for me on the earth and bought me free with His blood and redeemed me with His Spirit, has ascended into heaven, and from there he reigns without my Father's will. Not a single hair is falling off my head. And if you are saved by grace, and you don't belong to yourselves, and you don't belong to the devil, and you don't belong to the world, and you don't belong to any other creature, but you belong to your Lord Jesus Christ, who loves you more than any other creature can ever love you. That's what we just read from the Confession of Faith, children of God. Are we living in that? Are we keeping our eyes on this earth and get discouraged? Or are we lifting our eyes into the heavens and look beyond the clouds in the peaks of Scripture, where God has revealed that Jesus did not enter into heaven to be idle, but to reign and to rule? If we are like Peter, who as he stepped out of the boat on that lake of Galilee, as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, nothing happened. You notice? But when he began to listen to the howling winds, and when he began to look at these enormous waves, he sank like a stone. But he didn't drown. Why not, children? Because as he cried out, Jesus grabbed his hand. Children of God, we need to take the eyes away from the waves that roar around us, from the wind that howls against us, and we have to behold what John has recorded for us as he was given the view of the throne room in heaven in Revelation 5 and 4 and 5. I saw and I beheld in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and of the midst of the elders, stood a lamb that had been slain, Jesus, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And there he is, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Let's keep our heads in Revelation 4 and 5. As we face the waves, as we face the tribulation, as we face the trials and the difficulties of this life. The truth of Jesus on the throne is also a reason to tremble. If you are an unrepentant sinner tonight, if you are a person who lives for yourself, and you live for this world, you live for your goals and your visions and your ideas, and you live unrepenting and unbelieving and unconverted, I tremble for you to think what you need to meet with if you would tonight not reach home. Then you need to meet Jesus also. But not as the sweet Savior, but as the uncompromising judge. And with a divine expression of anger, he will indeed then say to you with an eternal duration, "Depart from me." Beloved, children, young people, this life is worth that. These goals, these toys, these dreams, these visions, whatever you, it's not worth it. Please, to have to come to stand before this Savior and to have rejected Him and ignored Him and lived your life your way, giving Him lip service, that's not worth living a life like that. Jesus says, no, the Father says, kiss the Son. that I have exalted, that I have given, that I have brought into the world, that I have exalted to sit on my right hand. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Kiss the Son. What does that mean? That is a Hebrew way of saying, children, surrender, adore, show Christ the tokens of your devotion. You say, but Pastor, I don't see any glory in Jesus Christ. To me, he is just the name of a person in the Bible, but he is nothing more. He is not having any meaning for me. He is not adorable to me. He's not worthy to me. Children, or young people, or old ones, if you must admit that tonight, then just don't admit it to me. Admit it to Jesus then. And as you bow your knees tonight before you go to sleep, and tell him honestly, Lord Jesus, I heard thee say, and I heard thy Father say, kiss the Son. But I do not know why. I don't see the value. I don't see and feel the need. Lord, I am just not having any sense of this. Ask him, children. Ask this Lord to then give you this feeling, this need, this burden, this understanding why you are to, why you are to come to him. Cry out to him till you see it. Let's sing together. First, before we look at two other reasons why this is such a special day to rejoice, we'll sing Psalm 4 with each other. And that was based on the psalm I just quoted. So let's now think about what God is saying as you sing his own word in verse 1 through 5. Oh, wherefore do the nations rage? And what follows? Verse 1 through 5. Now, what's the second reason to rejoice about the ascension of Jesus Christ? That is because He opened the gate of the Holy of Holies for His people. Can we read verse 3 and 4 for a moment again? That question, who shall ascend up into the heavens? Who shall approach unto God? Who shall stand in His holy place? Those are vital questions to ask. Who will be able to go into the heavenly glory? Well, the answer is utterly demolishing to me. Only he who has clean hands, who's never done anything with his hands or action sinfully. Never. He that has a pure heart, who has never had an unholy or a naughty or a sinful thought. Only he who has not lifted up his soul to vanity, and then of course meaning, oh, I covet that. I want to have that also. I'd like to have what they have. Or anyone who has not sworn deceitfully, that means someone who's broken a vow, who's made a promise and he broke it. Well, I'm out then. There'll be no way that I ever will ascend into heaven if these are the requirements. I came out of my mother with vanity in my mind, with naughtiness in my heart, with impurity in my soul. Children, people, none of us ever be able to ascend into heavenly glory, into the Holy of Holies, when we have this answer in front of Him. Only those, it says in verse 5, shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of His salvation. That's unsettling. You know, when we get older, we get a little bit more refined than when we are young about how we live. But none of us here this evening will be able to ascend to the hill of the holy or shall stand in the holy place. Children, if you grew up in the Old Testament time, you wouldn't have a church like this. You have church outside. You stand by the gate, not inside the building. If I would just kind of picture this church building as the temple, then the door would be closed there now, and with a curtain, you wouldn't be able to look into this part. And you wouldn't even be able to come in the foyer. That's the holy place. And there's another curtain there to the outside door. And there was an altar and a laver, and there was another fence, and you'd be standing all the way by the grass. And you would be by our church tonight. And on that only day of atonement, that one day in the year, as the people would watch that, they'd see the high priest in sparkling white clothes. He would have made sure there would be not a spot on his garment. And after the sacrifices he'd made and after the blood sprinkled, he would walk with a bowl of blood carefully. First he would go behind the first veil and he would come in the holy place, like in our foyer. And then carefully he would come into that second place, like here in the Holy of Holies. And the people outside, they see nothing. If they would listen well, they may hear something. They would hear little twinkling bells, because he had probably some bells on the bottom of his garment. But that's all. The Holy of Holies is a picture of God's throne room. That's where God lived. Right above the ark. In between those two angels that are on top of the ark, there was a little cloud called the Shekinah glory. And the pillar of light stood above that, of the pillar of clouds in the tabernacle. And at night, the pillar of fire. So right above that, it's where God's throne room was. And there were angels on that curtain and between the holy and the holies. They were almost telling you, don't come in here. If you do, you're going to die. And you know the story of two of Aaron's sons. They didn't listen to that. And God killed them. And we know the story of Uzzah tonight. And God killed him too. What's God telling us? I'm holy. You don't come near to me. Except you have clean hands. And you have a pure heart. And you've never been vain in your mind. You've never been covetous and you've never lied or broken your promise. And today, God is just as holy as he was in the days of Aaron and the tabernacle and the Holy of Holies. He's still the same holy God who says, only if you and I are perfect, we will be able to ascend into heaven. God is not satisfied with an effort. God is not satisfied with your best efforts. God cannot lower his standard of holiness. But now look, what happened on Ascension Day? Jesus ascended up. And the gates opened up upon his request or upon his demand. Open up your gates of glory for who? For the Lord strong and mighty. Jesus ascended with a shout, it says in one of the Psalms. With a shout of what shout? The Lord of glory, here I am. Demanded the gates of heaven to be open. And he was ushered in to the throne room. His Father had seen all his labor on earth. We've seen it. He died on the cross, but he rose on resurrection morning. What did God say when he sent his angel there to open up the gates of hell, or of the grave? He told them, perfectly satisfied. You can come home. That's Ascension Day. And dear people, Jesus did not do that for himself. He came as the mediator, as a substitute for a church that his Father chose for him. He came on this earth to be the mediator. And now he is in heaven, children of God. I just again like to remind you of this beautiful confession that we read tonight from Christ's intercession. Go and reread this more often than once a year, please. We have an heavenly advocate of the Father. Even though you cannot stand now, and even though you cannot say your heart is pure, and even though you cannot say your hands are clean, and even though you can never say you kept your promises, and even though you fail and fall every day, do not forget, we have at the right hand of the Father an heavenly advocate with a bowl of his own blood, making intercession for his children as they stumble and fall here on this earth daily. Ever turning the face of the Father, as it were, from our sins to his blood. And thereby always keeping open the door of access to the throne of God. What have we in blessed benefit in Jesus' ascension into heaven? He could ascend His hands were clean. His heart was pure. He never lifted up his soul unto vanity. He never broke any of his words to God and the Father. Isn't that a reason to rejoice then? Isn't that a reason to join the Apostle Paul, not only in his confession, "Oh, who shall deliver me from this wretched body that I have?" But should we not go one verse further and say, "I thank God for Jesus Christ. In Him, I will be more than conqueror. And I will run and not faint, and I will walk and not stumble, and I will, through Him who went before us and for us." And that's reason for rejoicing, isn't it? Now the third and last reason why this is a day of joy. Friends, even for you who are tonight a sinner lost, I have a message of joy. Did you ever realize that heaven's gates are close to you if you are unsaved? I didn't ask you whether you ever heard that before. You've heard that plenty of times from this place. But I'm asking you, have you ever realized it? That heaven is a closed place for you. Why? Because you've sinned against God. And we do it repeatedly and repeatedly. You realize this. We make God more and more angry as we live in this day after day life in which we do our own things and talk our own way and disobey and ignore and reject and live as if there is no God to give account to. God is so patient. God is so long-suffering. Beautiful day we had today. What a stunning weather. What a beautiful care of the providence of God. You know who did that to you? You know who gave you that today? Jesus did. From the heavenly throne. He's sending us a day like this. Giving us all these blessings. Loads upon loads upon loads every day He loads upon us. Why? He's no pleasure in your death. He's no pleasure in your hunger. He's no pleasure that you go lost. He's no pleasure that you live on without Him. And therefore I ask you tonight, have you ever realized the painful realization that if you come before heaven's gate, it will be close to you if you have sinned against God and have not come to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Nothing is more choking than to feel the gripping truth that you're banished out of heaven because of your sin. Nothing is worse to feel, and yet I pray that you'd feel it tonight. I pray that that would so choke every joy in life that you seem to continue to pray, seek for, and live for. So that you may become serious-minded to join this generation the psalm speaks about. This is the generation of them that seek Him, that seek Thy face, O Jacob. And yeah, friend, if you've never been troubled about this reality, then you are in trouble. Solomon pictured something in the book of Proverbs that puts it well. He says, picture yourself, unsaved man, woman, child. Picture yourself as a sleeping drunk on the top of a mast in a raging sea of water. Now that's a picture, all right. And that's what you are. When you're drunk with the world, drunk with yourself, drunk with the things of this life, not in the hands of the Almighty, but on the top of a mast, the little bit of life that you have and the little bit of the world you have and that you're sitting on and laying on and living on and loving, and in the meantime, your whole boat is in this incredible turbulent sea, ready to swallow you up. That's the picture. Fall on your knees this day before this Prince and Savior that God has exalted on this crowning day of His. And you know why He has exalted Him? To be a Prince and Savior, to give repentance and remission of sin. Listen to this now for a moment. He has been exalted to give to you what He demands from you. He demands from you that you'd repent from your sin. And yet in Acts 5 it tells me He's been exalted to give repentance. Take hold of that word tonight. Open your scripture, find the text in Acts 5 and lay your finger at that and say, O Lord Jesus, Thou hast been exalted to give the repentance Thou art requiring from me that I cannot give. That I am required to give. Thou art exalted to give repentance and forgiveness. That means that implies faith as well. Oh Lord Jesus, I plead with Thee on Thy word today to remember me in mercy. Do not forget that when you seek Jesus today as He sits in the throne room of this eternal glory of heaven, when He sits there surrounded by the angels, as the angels bow down before Him, do not forget that when you call upon Jesus tonight, you call upon Him who is the same there as He was here. The same heart. The same gentleness, the same compassion, the same feeling for you, sinners. As He's there in the heavenly glory, He is the same, ready to pardon, ready to receive the penitent prodigal waster of life. Sinners sought Him on earth and found Him ready to receive no matter what their history was. So, He is ready to receive you in heavenly glory, no matter what your horrific history is, in your mind, in the secrets of your life, in your walk of life, in the choices you have made, in the places where you've been, or in the place where you are right now, in the fallenness of the gutter of a lost life. He receiveth sinners to eat with them. As a matter of fact, not only anyone who comes to eat with Him is received, He is coming to you from the heavenly glory. I'm reading from Revelation 3, children, people. That's Jesus speaking through John from heavenly glory, mind you. Not on earth this time. And what does He say when He speaks from there? To what? To a church He is ready to spew out of His mouth. He is so sick of them. You're not hot, you're not cold. You're lukewarm, you're rich, you increase, you're self-satisfied, you're proud of yourself. I am ready to spew you out of your mouth. And what does he say to that church? Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and I will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Unbelievable. To people that he is ready to spew out of his mouth, he knocks tonight on your heart. And he says, my son, my daughter, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. He said, I can't open the door of my heart. I cannot. I feel chained to unbelief, causing indifference and unfeeling and uninterest. I am not at all concerned about him standing at the door. I cannot even open the door. I cannot even move myself to open it. Say that to him. Not to me. Rattle to chains in his ears, will you? Cry out through your closed door, Lord Jesus, I cannot open this door anymore. Lift up these bound hands and lift up these closed ears and lift up these blind eyes and lift up your need to Jesus, who calls you and who seeks you. And listen to this. Another one of these Ascension Day, Psalm 72. He heareth the needy when he crieth. The poor also, and him who has no helper, he heareth them from that heavenly glory. And he shall spare the poor. He shall spare the needy, though they are guilty. See, there's a reason to rejoice on Ascension Day. There's a king that sits on the throne who has all the power over heaven and earth. Nothing to fear if you've been him, if you're one of his. You're always on the winning side. That's why Paul and Silas were singing as they lay down in the prison. That's why Stephen was praying when he is falling down, when the stones are murdering him. That's why the martyrs go singing into the fire. Why? Because of Jesus on the throne. Children of God, are we saying that to the world? Are we showing that to the world? Even if this crisis around you is going to touch your life. You know why it touches your life? Because Jesus is on the throne. He has a message. As a purpose. And the second reason to rejoice tonight was because there's a high priest in heaven. And through him, those whose hands are unclean, whose heart is impure, who are falling and failing, can find a place with God, who is holy and a consuming fire. And the third reason is because there is a Jesus in heaven who is the same today as he was on earth. Seek him. Amen. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord God, for thy word again this evening. And we lift up to thee, O God, the heart that can't open and that can't repent and that can't turn back to thee. O Lord God, as thou call this evening, let thy call be with power to break through all the hindrances and to make a way as thou alone can make it. Grant, Lord, this evening that we may indeed grasp the riches of this so glorious gospel of thy ascension. Also, as thy children here, we may not live below the benefit that thou hast acquired and secured for all thy children. And remind tonight, Lord, especially those who do not sit in a church pew, but who are laying in a cell bunk, or are sitting on a cell floor, or are slaving in a labor camp, or, O God, who are laying on a torture bench. Remind him tonight that thou hast thy eye upon them and that thy ear is open to their cry and that thou wilt come upon thy time. Lord God, please abide with us tonight. As we part from this place, may our hearts remain filled with the Word and thy Spirit. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Let's sing together Psalter 200. Let's sing just verse 1 and 2. Christ shall have dominion over land and sea. And what follows in verse 1 and 2 of Psalter 200. ever. The collection today or tonight is for the student fund. So receive the blessing of the Lord God now and let us go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion with the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.